Blog Talk Radio.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start. How you can spot the signs and, most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.
Good morning. Welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. We're past 82,000 downloads of the podcast. Could not have done that without your support. And today, another magnificent guest. I just love these people who say yes, but they want to be on the show. Cheryl Ann Waddington is one of the nation's premier fashion and beauty journalists and a leading consultant in the field of personal growth. She's an accomplished writer, television personality, and motivational speaker. Cheryl is involved in a lot of things. She has an image consultant company, and also she has a nonprofit organization helping young women. But now, amongst all her many other accomplishments, she has written a book, The Diva Girl's Guide to Style and Self-Respect. Good morning, Cheryl. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, Joy, and thank you for inviting me on your program. It's a joy to talk with you today.
Well, I appreciate it. You are so busy and doing so many things. Let's start at the beginning. How did you get into this fashion industry? What sparked you this interest?
What can I tell you? I've been in the fashion industry since I was 5 years old. I started as a model, and it was something that my mother put me in, I guess to keep me out of trouble. So it was never really a desire. I just did what mama told me to do. So that's how I got into fashion. No, seriously. So I transitioned from the pageants and the modeling schools. And the I was actually on a train traveling to New York to do fashion shows at age 12. So,
wow.
Yeah, this has been my whole life.
Well, you also went to school for it, though. Even when you got older, you went to the Fashion Institute of Technology and Fashion Merchandising. You're a faculty at Temple University. And on the advisory board for Cheney University Fashion Merchandising Program. So it's like in your blood.
It is in my blood. It's ingrained. So yeah,
it's ingrained.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you, yes.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. So, but it wasn't a choice. Could you believe that?
But, your mom must have seen something in you somehow. She just knew. Sometimes moms have that wisdom, you know.
You know, I'm wondering, I'll leave that for another show, because I was a tomboy, Joy. I really was. So, yeah,
I would never guess that. You're always looking so glamorous.
Isn't that something? But, see, that goes to show you what a little grooming can do.
I see.
Yeah,
let's talk about your organization a little bit, talking about the grooming. You're dealing with young women tell us about the program, and you started that in 2004.
Sure, yes. The Evelor House, which is a nonprofit organization that works with girls, and the focus is on at-risk girls. And we empower girls by nurturing positive self-expression and personal development. And we deal with girls ages 13 to 18. And I guess with the founding of the Evelor House, it is a natural transition, because I guess I knew at an early age that what grooming can do. And I knew today that with some of the adversities that today's girls face, it was even more important that these girls need tools that they can use to make wise decisions. So I know what being groomed and mentored did for me, because, again, I tell you, I was a tomboy, and no one would ever know it.
No. Let me just tell them a couple of things. You've worked with over almost close to 700 girls leaving your program, 100% high school graduation rate. Mm-hmm. 70% of those go on to post-secondary education. So it's a very successful program.
Yes, it is. And we were astounded to find those statistics after we began implementing the program. But when we started this, one thing that we did say, we wanted to go after the girls who needed it most. And the whole question, I think, throughout the system, when you talk about youth development, they're always concerned if you'll be able to reach these girls. So from what we did, we have a research-based program. So we looked at what the issues were. I know in the Philadelphia area, STDs were major. Teen violence and low self-esteem and the high school dropout rate were very important issues. So we said, how could we build a curriculum around that those particular issues? And we know in some cases, no matter how educated a person is, if they don't feel mm-hmm. good about who they are on the inside, they won't be able to excel.
What do you think is the most successful aspect of your program? What do the girls continue to talk about even after they've left, you know, years later?
Well, what we're hearing, the girls are saying things like it was an amazing experience. The self-esteem issue, peer pressure, and bullying, the whole idea that girls thought they never could turn out to be anything. Is something that we hear. Their self-esteem is so low. Now, keep in mind, girls, for the most part, the whole sexualization of women and girls across the board is prevalent in all forms of media. So when they have obviously constantly heard things, you know, themselves called
negative,
certain names
yeah.
in the media.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it to us, it seems like they have been beginning, well, they view themselves as that, like the B word and the H word. So, but those are some of the things we hear, that they feel so good about themselves. In some cases, some girls say, well, I know now that I can be an educated black woman. They
mm-hmm.
talk about how they're ready to take on the world. The list is endless. They talk about how they know how to act. They have more respect for themselves and respect for others. So they kind of know the difference between personal, how you act when you're in the street and how you behave in professional settings, but also the importance of excellence, of going for
wow.
excellence.
Yes, yes. Well, that's why I think your book is so great, The Diva Girl's Guide to Style and Self-Respect. And one of the things it talks about in the book is you know, helping the girls with their self-esteem, how to dress, how to eat. One of the great pictures I love is the table placemat,
yeah.
where all the knives and the forks and spoons. Talk to the audience. Why did you think that was so important to put in there?
Oh, my God. Have you seen the way that young people eat? Well, first of all, we know that due to the makeup of the family, you know, there are a lot of single households, and mothers are busy. Rarely do you see a family take the time to sit down and eat together. They're always eating at fast food restaurants. So from what I've found, some of the girls that I've seen eat in the program, they eat like Army soldiers, you know. And I've also had, you know, I've had some other deep, deep situations that would be unimaginable, where parents didn't even know how to teach their daughters how to sit down and eat. So we thought it was important for girls to learn proper etiquette, because if one thing, if we're telling them that we want them to excel, how can they? You know, they may have to do a power lunch one day. Like one girl said, now that I've taken this etiquette course, I know that I can sit and do a power lunch with Donald Trump. So that was major for us, you see.
Wow.
And they
That's
feel confident. Uh-huh, yeah, they feel confident that they can mix and mingle with people from all walks of life.
One of the few things I like is there's a phrase in there that says, if it doesn't fit, you ought to quit. Talk to the audience about that statement.
Well, and I'm sure anybody on the planet can relate to that in terms of the way women wear their clothes. Now, what we say is one of the most important things to having great style is that it fit. You've got to have the proper fit. We know with teen girls that we've seen, they have a tendency to shop in the little kids' department, so their clothes will fit tight. So then you'll see them with the muffin top, with the cleavage,
with the
thong or G string.
I just cringe.
So what we're saying to our girls, we're telling them, we're giving them tools to say, hey, you want great style? This is how you do it. If it don't fit, don't buy it. You ought to really quit it.
But, you know, Cheryl, don't the girls say, well, this is the style. If she doesn't wear that, or she's going to look too old, or, you know, she's not, the guy's not going to like her, you know, and she's not going to feel sexy. How do you combat these, you know, statements that the girls are saying?
Yeah.
How do you combat and get them back on the track, the right
exactly.
track?
Exactly. And you know what? And this is what I'm finding, that it's not that hard, and I think it's the approach, like they say, it's not what you do, it's how you deliver it. And what we have found is that, and this is what our girls tell us, they tell us, they say, we need guidance. Now, I know one big issue for mothers is when they're taking their daughters on a prom, in terms of the daughters want to have control and pick out the dress and all that kind of thing. But there's a way that you can work with your daughter if you're not just preaching to her. Our girls tell us, you know, we like this program because everybody's always telling us what to do, but they never explain why. And it's just that simple. Yeah.
That's really interesting you said that, why. They don't explain to the children why. But I also find that people, and I'm a parent, that I have to learn to listen better.
Yep.
I really have to learn to listen better. As a parent, you can always do that. My daughter says, you're not listening to you. You don't understand what I'm saying. And when I do listen, my daughter cracks me up. She'll start talking about something. So I'll just be quiet, and I will listen. Mm-hmm. And then I don't say anything. And then she looks at me, and she's like, did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, I'm listening to you. You told me not to say anything and just listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a real, real key. One of the other things you talk about in the book is etiquette in cyberspace, because kids are always texting on Facebook, they're on MySpace, I don't know what, but I know Facebook and Twitter and texting is like huge. I mean, my text for my daughter is way more than on the actual phone, phone voice to voice. What are you telling them about how to behave in cyberspace, and why is it different than in person?
Well, we launched the Everlore Girl Blog Spot a few years ago. So we were fortunate to have about 4,000 girls around the world enrolled. So we got an opportunity to see how they were behaving, and parents would be shocked. I think at one point one parent got alerted that the kids in the neighborhood, all the kids in the neighborhood had this little powwow online, and they were just saying all kinds of things. And, you know, from the girls were admitting that they dated older men, and they were just saying, they were telling the whole story. You know.
All the business.
Yeah, but one thing about cyberspace, I think young women today, particularly when they're more than maybe 30,000 predators on the internet, they have to know how to protect themselves. So we thought that was very important. And to know that people are just, these are faces behind the internet. They're not real people. So you really don't know who you're talking to. And then we've seen the pictures that young girls post online of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, some of them were just horrific. I mean, horrendous. A mother would scream. So we made sure we put in the book to tell girls certain things that they should do to keep themselves safe on that
internet. Are some of the things they should do to keep themselves safe? I mean, people are, you know, looking for friendship. Maybe they don't have friends in school, and so they're going online and making these friends. You said they're not real. I mean, why are they not real? If they're talking to me every day, they send me little cute notes, you know, they talk about how cute I am. I mean, they're not real, you know? Talk to me about that.
Well, sure. Well, in terms of these, one thing, we know that a lot of times men will pretend that they're 14 years old, and this could be a grown man, a sexual predator, somebody who's just trying to lure you, to meet you somewhere on the street, and you never know what may happen. But one thing that you have to do is you have to make sure that you constantly know who you friend on these pages. You know, if you don't know this person, sometimes it's best, I guess, in the case of teen girls is to not invite them on your page. And it's also good to check out what your friends are saying on their pages as well, because kids can be kind of creative, and we know too much that bullying is alive and well. So you always want to check out what your friends are saying about you on their pages too. And again, I cannot stress enough, if you don't know someone, be very careful about inviting them to, or connecting them to your page. And also be aware of the information that you're putting out there, because one thing that I find time and time again that young people do not understand, that if you're trying to get a job, that employers nowadays are looking at your Facebook pages and your Twitter pages, and sometimes even in college, I know some of the interns that want to intern with us, we have to turn them down because we look at their Facebook and their Twitter pages and just the conversations that they have. They don't understand that once you put something out there, it is out there for good.
It's out there.
And you can't take it back. And even in terms of the sexting, you know, and I don't want to tell everything that's in the book, because I really want to encourage parents that to buy this for their daughters, because we're talking to them, and I know you've read some of the book, in a down-home way that's not preachy, where these girls can clearly understand. So, and we need space for them to make their own decisions where they can write down. For example, in there, we have one area like we ask girls the question, what would you do if your boyfriend asked you to text him naked pictures of your breasts. And then,
well, that's
a
big thing. I mean, that actually happens. I know somebody who found on their son's phone a girl's picture. So, again, this, when you send these things out into cyberspace, that they're going to be there forever, and you don't know who's going to see them. Just real quick, I want to mention, I know we don't want to get the whole book, but you do talk about the issue of friendship and sometimes having to leave certain friends at certain places. You can't take them everywhere. Talk to the audience. I mean, that's what you talk about, you know, and it's true. Even when you get older, it happens, you know. But,
goodness.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I like to tell the real deal, but I can't tell, this just happened. I went to Fashion Week, and I realized that I had someone with me that I may have to rethink about taking them again because they can embarrass you. And you do have to be careful of who you're taking where, and understand that there are some people that that can be your personal friends, but when it comes to your professional life, they just aren't ready to. You can dress them up, but you can't take them out. That old saying, it is so true. And we give an instance in the book where we talk about someone who took their girlfriend to a major event. And the young lady was looking for an internship, and all of these celebrities were there. And as soon as they got there, the girl started screaming real loud about how she was going to beat up everybody. Well, that was embarrassing. And, you know, and of course, it's instances like that, because people do judge you by the company you keep, that made this young lady perhaps not get the internship because of the friend that was with her who did not know how to act.
Well, sure. What do you say to young women, though? They say, well, if I leave my friends behind, they're going to think I'm being snobby, I don't care about them, and then I'm not going to have any friends. What can you tell young women to, I guess, empower them and let them know it's going to be okay, that maybe they're going to get new friends? What do you tell them to help that issue?
It's not a cut and dry process, because you have a daughter, so you know when you start preaching, they're not going to respond. And I think it's through the entire program of discovering who they are and what makes them special. It gives them a new sense of self. And they start to realize things that they never looked at before. Like, for example, they may say, oh, I am better than that. I don't have to do that. I don't have to take this person with me. They feel more empowered once you give them tools and you allow them to work through it, think through it, and, you know, like we do in the book, we provide activities for them to answer their own questions, because they never really look at, like, life instances that way.
They're not being introspective. I mean, they're teenagers, so.
They're young, and very rarely will they get an opportunity to go through something like this in school. These are, like, life lessons.
Well, I want to tell you that you have a fan out there, Nicole Davenport. She's a friend of mine, and she told me that you were one of her mentors, and she just wanted to say mwah to you today. That's from Nicole Davenport.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love her. Yes, do you know I had her when she was a teenager?
You going to tell us some dirt about Nikki?
What did you say? What did you say, Joy?
I said, are you going to tell us some dirt about Nikki? She's so beautiful. She's very talented. You guys, keep an ear out for that name, Nicole Davenport, because she's working on some big projects right now. If you're listening, you might see her name soon in the media. But, yeah, she wanted me to tell you hi and that she loves you.
Yes, well, I'm going to tell you, Nicole, it was a very interesting story because Nicole was actually one of, I think, this area, Northwest Section's best runway model. That girl was awesome. She's very talented, very creative, and she beat a lot of odds because she didn't have the average look as a model. She was tall and slim, but she had full lips. But she broke into the industry and was able to constantly work in New York and get modeling gigs because she was...
The steady work as opposed to, like, you know, every once in a while type of thing. She was working steadily.
Exactly, but she was an excellent runway model. I mean, there were very few who could top her.
Oh, she has a fierce walk. I remember the first time I saw Nikki walking, it was somewhere down on the riverfront. It was some show, I can't remember. And I was just like, I mean, you know, she's my friend. You know when you're friends with people, you know they're talented, but like maybe you haven't seen them. When she got on the runway, I was just, my jaw dropped, like, you know, whoa, like, okay, nobody could deny. I mean, I think that night she was the top one with the walk. I mean, she got very fierce walk. Let's talk about your image consulting, since we're talking about modeling and walking. You have an image consulting business. Talk to the audience a little bit about that and some of the services you provide. Now, let me just tell the audience real quick, you've had some really, you know, top clientele. Queen Latifah, Beyonce, you worked with America's Next Top Model winner, Tyra Banks, Jill Scott, Mary J. Talk to us about some of the services that you provide.
Sure. Avalor Image Consultant is a wardrobe management makeover and a style analysis agency. So, you know, we have a team of celebrity hairstylists, makeup artists, and it's a hair, makeup, it's one more, Joy, help me out. What is it, hair, makeup, and styling,
hair,
fashion styling.
Styling, yes. And also, you go into people's closets and help them clean out their closets and try to coordinate.
Exactly. So when we do such certain things like wardrobe audits, we do personal shopping, we do the wardrobe setup, we do hair and makeup for film and movies, and we also do seminars. So we've had a lengthy list of clients, and most of the people that work with Avalor Image Consultants are veterans. They're just not regular hairstylists or people, you know, who may have just been around for a minute. So the people that work with us are like veterans and almost legends in their own right, and they've done some of the biggest names in the business. So Avalor stands for Evolve in French, so that's where that came from. But they do operate in a certain level of excellence, and I wouldn't accept anything less. But that's what we do here at Avalor. So, you know, we're constantly working and helping people to improve themselves the same way we do with teen girls. Be your personal best.
That's one of the things I like about your book is that, you know, everybody doesn't have the same body shape. You have pictures of different types of shapes and what types of things that they can wear that will, enlighten or heighten their assets as opposed to wearing, like you said, the things that where you have a muffin top or, you know, cracks. Let's talk a little bit about fashion in the spring. What's going on for the spring in terms of fashion, in terms of colors, the stripes, the patterns? I see a lot of cropped pants and bright-colored short pants. Talk to
us
about what's up for the spring, you think.
Yes. Well, I'm going to tell you about that, but one thing I did want to mention, Joy, and I didn't send you that chapter. We have a strong chapter in a book about called Cupid Shuffle, which talks to girls about how to deal with boys, and we go into sex very heavily about the question of sex. We have Dr. Jocelyn Elders contributed to the book, and she has a quick, nice section in there, and she tells the girls what she wants them to know about the question of sex. We also have a sex term glossary that was approved by Planned Parenthood in there. And so there are, we have Dr. Susan Bartel, who contributed to tell girls how they can get over a bad breakup. And she gives five quick tips because, you know, that can be one of the most devastating things for a young girl when she breaks up with a young man.
Oh, yes. The first love, breakup, and then the second. The second is important because a lot of kids, I'm glad you mentioned that, a lot of kids think that oral sex is not sex. Oral sex is sex. Kissing is intimate. Kissing, you can, you know, pass things along. Giving oral sex to guys can, you know, give you an STD. A guy giving oral sex to a girl can give you STD. Not using protection, not only STD, but you can die. You can catch HIV/AIDS. There are more young African-American men, and I say young, under the age of 25, are dying from HIV/AIDS because they are not getting tested, they're in denial, and they continue to have sex.
Yeah.
So
and we,
as a young woman, you need to be aware of that.
Yeah, and we know that the rates of HIV and STDs in Philadelphia are extremely high. So we thought that that was a major section that had to be put in there. Also, we talk about street smarts and how girls can protect themselves because we do hear in our program a lot of instances of rape. So we tell girls, you know, if this happens to you, this is what you can do in terms of, you know, step by step. You know, don't touch anything. You know, where you can go for help, counseling. So with some really important tools outside of the fashion and some of the other things that they can learn to help them to grow into possible diva girls.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Well, I'm glad you mentioned. And that's why I played that public service announcement in the beginning of the show about teen dating violence, you know, talking about relationships and, you know, people stalking you now, not just in person, but on texting, on Facebook, you know, calling you. And parents need to be aware of that. So the book is not just, if you're listening, if you know somebody who has a kid, you should purchase the book. You can purchase the book on Amazon.com after March 5th. That's when it's actually going to be on sale, correct?
Yes, it actually launches this Monday. And I can tell you also, we have a Grammy award-winning singer, Monica, in the book. So, and then her and Brandy are actually launching their video, you know, their Come Back Together this Monday, the same day the book launches. So, but they're but they're all giving tips to young girls about what they think girls should know to help them be their most best self.
Yes, yes.
It's
little
people. Also, Beverly Bond is in the book. She contributed, and I guess, and she's telling girls, we even talk about the question of girls or people calling them the B word and the H word. So she gives girls her opinion about is that okay, because we have also have real questions from real girls in the book. And one girl asked, my friends like to call me those names. I don't like it. Is that okay? And Beverly Bond answers that question so eloquently.
Well, also you have Miss USA Kenya Moore, and as you mentioned, the U.S. Surgeon General Jocelyn Elders talking about the sex issues. So you have a lot of excellent a huge team, famous individuals supporting. I just want to tell the audience some of the response about the book from Cornel West. I applaud this precious book. Thank God for Cheryl Ann Waddington. From Sylvia Scott, founder and president of Girls CEO. The Deeper Girl's Guide in Style to Style and Self-Respect is one of the book any girl between the ages of 15 and 21 will want to read and keep notes. Noted fashion designer Kristen Haskins Sims, style is something you were born with, but it's also something that can be learned over time with the right tools. Deeper Girl's Guide to Style and Respect is one of those essential tools. So if you're listening, you definitely want to pick up a copy to give to a young woman or even buy like 10 of them and donate to a school. Really,
this is what
I'm saying. Why not? And donate to a school.
Yes, because the book was designed in lesson plans where you can get a group of girls in any neighborhood and you can pull a section out of that book and sit down with a group of girls and talk with her. Now, we also address fitness in that book because, you know, obesity is a problem
in
America.
Obesity is a problem. Oh, huge.
Yes. We have Madonna Grimes, and I don't know if you've heard of her, but look her up, Joy. She was the first hip-hop fitness queen, and she's giving girls tips. She's Miss Fitness International about how easy, quick tips that you can do to stay in shape. And her, along with the soccer legend Eddie Pope, are also providing tips for our girls to keep in shape and to stay healthy.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Cheryl. Excellent information for young women. Check her out. She's on Twitter. I am Miss Cheryl. Check out the website. I've posted those on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn all over to get people. And the book comes out March 5th. You can buy on Amazon. Don't just buy one, buy two. I'm going to be giving away one, so you have to follow me at Joy Keys. Become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for coming on
Thank
today.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful Saturday.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.